everyone. Welcome back to Retro Rewatch, the show where Patrice Brendamore and I, and I'm Jeff Gamet, where we, Patrice, I think a really great way to describe the show for people that don't know what we do yet is this is a long-running shaming of me for not watching shows that I should have seen a long time ago. Like in this case, Retro Rewatch. No, yes. That's our show.
Yes.
Stargate also SG-1.
Retro. Yes. Also Retro Rewatch.
Yes. So, yeah, Patrice has seen Stargate SG-1 many times.
Yeah.
And I'm watching it for the first time, if you could believe that.
Or, I mean, you could almost say, I'm showing you how cool Stargate SG-1 is, and you're telling me that you didn't get the story straight. Did I get that right?
Yes, that's it. That's it as well. Yes. I can watch a show. And then we can immediately sit down after I watch it and record. So the end credits roll, and within minutes, we're recording, and I will still screw up the chronology of an episode.
Yes. I don't know if you got that, but that was a hint about the episode title. Actually, what it showed, the episode title of what we're watching.
That's kind of funny, because... this week's episode is Show and Tell?
Yes. Show and Tell, season 2, episode 20. We're very close to the end. And I don't know why that was now.
Well, because it's kind of a secret because people don't know. Oh, wait, that's only me.
Yeah, exactly. Only you don't know. Yeah, we only have this one and then a really, really cool episode and then another episode. Whether it's cool or not, I'm not going to tell you yet.
Okay.
I already told you the next one is cool, so I can safely say that. But the rest, I'm not telling you.
You know, it doesn't matter if you tell me an episode is cool or not. I do look forward to seeing each one.
You don't remember anyway, as I thought you would say.
I won't remember by the time I watch it.
Yeah. Good.
By the way, Patrice, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. It's, I don't know. It's interesting times right now. That's all I'm going to say. I'm very happy that we're talking about retro TV shows from like 20-something years ago and nothing current, because I'm kind of trying to escape that.
You know, that's a really good point. Yep. So thank you by coming up with a premise for a podcast where we shame me so that it can be therapy for both of us and let us escape from how crazy the world is.
Yeah. So I'm going to send you an invoice for the therapy session, and you're going to send me one, and then, it cancels itself out.
Right. So we need to do some price fixing here.
Yes.
So that, it washes out. All right. So, Patrice, you said this is season 2, episode 20. Show and Tell.
Yes.
This is one where... We're back where the order of episodes matches up across the board.
Yes, it's still that.
For all the countries.
It does, but the air date is still not the same. So, because the UK started, they kind of didn't take like a very long break like the US did back then. They basically did a small break around Christmas time and then they continued right away, whereas I think... US side only came back, so Showtime only came back like end of January, I want to say. So the air date for this one on the UK side, but on Sky One, was January 27th, 1999, versus February 26th, 1999 on Showtime. So about a month apart. Fortunately, the internet wasn't a big thing back then, so spoilers, while they probably existed, and I mean, there were forums and stuff, probably wasn't a big thing for most people. I mean, we had Isaac Dew and stuff, but yeah, it wasn't the same. I mean, today, like, forget it. Like, 5 seconds later, the internet would be full of spoilers, so.
There was probably, like, an AOL group.
Oh, yeah.
Where, as long as you stayed out of that, you avoided the spoilers.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And for those of you that are like, I don't know what an AOL group is, go ask your parents.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, good for you. Bless your wee little heart.
You didn't miss much.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have an IMDb rating that's at least better than last time. It's not up there with the best episodes, but it is a respectable 7.5.
Okay.
So, versus the, I think, I want to say 6.9 last week, maybe. Or 6.3, something like that. It's not as if we could look that up. But 6.7.
Right.
Yeah, so something like that. Yeah, so respectable. It is written by Jonathan Glasner. Might have heard that name. It's kind of...
Might have heard that name. Yep, when I saw that pop up on the credits, I thought, okay.
Yeah.
We're going to have a solid episode.
Mm-hmm. And also directed by a solid director. We talked about him already. Peter DeLuise. Guy from Deadwood from, what was it, Sequest, DSV, whatever, something like that. But, I mean, he's now starting his run on SG-1, as we know, as a director, and will have many, many episodes. Serpent Song was his first one, so not that long ago.
Yeah, I like Serpent Song, so I'm assuming I'll like this one, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, you should know by now, but we'll not spoil it for everybody.
Well, okay, see, I was trying to avoid the pretense of a spoiler there.
Yeah, I can tell you something that you probably did like a lot. Okay. Carmen Argenziano as Jacob Carter and Selmac is back.
I was very happy to see that. As I recall,
yeah,
the last episode where we had the Tok'ra and Jacob wasn't there. Mm-hmm. I was really disappointed, and I felt like that might have been the end of us seeing that character,
yeah,
and that would have been a big waste.
Yes, and I mean, I had already told you that that wouldn't happen, but now you know at least a little bit more. We have the kid, Jeff Galka, as Charlie. Is actually best known for playing the telepath Gibson Praise on the series X-Files.
Oh, okay.
So you remember that also around that time, roughly? Very popular.
I did watch X-Files.
Mm-hmm. We, of course, have Terrell Rothery as Doc Frazier.
That always makes me happy, yes, to see Doc Frazier.
Mm-hmm. We have Daniel Bacon as Senior Master Sergeant, I think, Russell Benson. Peter Kafluck as Technical Sergeant Connor, uncredited. Hector Navarro as Technical Sergeant Kraushaar, also uncredited, but funny name, especially for a German, Kraushaar. It's native hair almost, or like it's very like thick and like whatever, curly. Cows.
Okay.
Cows is kind of a word, German word. Cows, huh? Paul Wu as Chu. Sylvester Stewart as Plunkett, also uncredited. And Peter DeLuise has a little uncredited cameo, as he always does. That's one of the things we'll talk about in a couple minutes. One of the things he does.
Okay. Now that you say that, I can clearly see his cameo.
Good. Okay, nice.
And it's funny because it's like the camera pauses on him for just a little bit.
Exactly.
And I'm like, oh, I know that guy.
Yeah, he always does. Yeah, he did that everything that he has a hand in as a director, as a writer, whatever, as a producer, he always has a little cameo somewhere. And he also tries to make it, it's not like just like stand random person standing in the background. He tries to make it interesting for him and also for the others.
Okay. Well, it blended in perfectly, did not detract anything,
nope,
and was a little interesting. And so, done.
Yeah. So, but that also means you see him on screen. The German title is Neue Feinde, New Foes.
Okay.
Spoilers, as always.
But big spoiler. Yeah.
Yes. I actually found a couple tidbits from the production side, actually from Peter DeLuise himself from an interview. So he said, on this show, they're serious about making things look tactically sound. They have a technical advisor who's only job is to say, this is how you would technically approach this situation. So, here's where we had a problem. SG-1 is moving down hallways, trying to fight an adversary that's that has invisibility on its side. To my knowledge, there is no tactic that has been developed to fight an enemy you can't see. So Colonel mm-hmm. O'Neill and his team had to maneuver the best they can and I think they just did fine. So that was a little thing that he mentioned about like how challenging it was really to do this. Because yeah,
okay.
He's right.
Okay.
There's, at least as far as we know, no tactics. So he didn't know, true. Which means the technical advisor didn't say if there was.
Well,
maybe he wasn't right. allowed well, to.
this explains something that I didn't realize until mm-hmm. now. I don't complain about very much, which is how ridiculous it is when they do certain things, like when they're yes. when they're going down the halls with, mm-hmm. with weapons and stuff. Yeah. And it's because there is a technical advisor saying, that's not how you do this. Mm-hmm. There are so many TV shows that I've seen over the years and our current TV shows where it's obvious no one involved understands the tactics of like clearing a house to make sure mm-hmm. that there's no bad guys, or how do you work around a corner in an yeah. alley so that yeah. you don't get yourself shot. Mm-hmm. Actually, since my memory tends to be bad about the episodes, clearly, yeah. Do you recall me complaining about stupid tactical blunders?
Oh, like yeah. That? Yeah, yeah, yeah. All the time.
Okay.
All the time. Because there are some really stupid things that happen sometimes.
Yeah, there's... Yeah. Well, I mean, some of the stupid things they have to deal with are... it's like... Well, it's a sci-fi show, and they're doing stupid things.
Yeah. Yeah. I have some technical details about the TR weapon, so the new weapon that they introduced. It's basically mm-hmm. excites molecules by using their transphase eradication rod.
I loved that. You know, they talk about their transphase eradication rod.
Yeah,
TER. which is basically a gun that's about
yeah
12 much. Inches long.
Pretty much. Yeah, and...
not much of a rod.
Yeah, and there's also a part that allows you to shoot them and kill them, I guess. So, yeah. I have some more bits for later, so I'll leave them for now. But it was nice to find some actual content, some actual interview text from him.
Okay. So I guess that gets us up to the teaser opener.
Yes, it does.
So they start this one off so that it feels like it's just another routine day yes. doing the routine stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty funny how they did this set that up, actually.
Yeah, so the camera angle, it's like, if you put the camera directly in the center of mm-hmm. the Stargate ring, yeah. so you're shooting down into the room.
Yeah.
And there's a couple people standing there, yeah. like with tools,
yeah.
sensors or whatever.
I mentioned that specifically because if you paid attention to one guy, there's like a guy with a kind of a yellow wand thing and like a scanner or something on his hip, mm-hmm. like it's just standing there and chatting to like a female person, like female scientist with like a lab coat or something, literally like just whatever, hanging out like at the office and not doing
yeah,
anything.
like you hang out on the ramp to the Stargate
yeah.
for office chit chat.
Exactly, that's kind of what it looks like. Yeah, and then we get an authorized traveler.
Right. And so, of course, they immediately run down the ramp and away mm-hmm. because they don't want to get caught in a kawoosh.
Yes.
And the way they ran mm-hmm. looked incredibly silly to me.
Yes, it was.
But, you know, whatever. They got out of the way.
Yeah.
And then, so, Of course, since it's an unauthorized activation, the iris closes, but then it opens, and now it's like this back and forth fight thing.
Yeah,
to get the iris closed.
Before we get to that, there's one important bit. They're kind of speculating, so it's unauthorized, which means not expected, right? They have scheduled times, and when someone normal times comes in, they would be like, "Oh, this is just SG whatever," right? But if it's unauthorized, it means, okay, this is none of the scheduled times and none of the scheduled teams. There is a mention here that I wanted to point out, because they mentioned that SG5 and SG14 are out. And 14 is, in this case, interesting, because so far we've only known about 12. So that confirms that there must be an SG13 and also 14.
Okay, so they're expanding.
Yeah, I mean, who knows if that was even on purpose or thought through, or they were just throwing a number out there and being like, oh, whatever. But I mean, they have mentioned in the past that there's 12 SG teams, so I guess it's at least not totally unplanned, I hope. I hope it's not
totally unplanned. Well, regardless, as of this point, there's now 14 teams. And so those last two teams better not get fired.
Exactly. Or killed. So as you said, iris opens, like they close it. It opens itself. They try to close it again. Feels like they're being hacked somehow.
Yeah. And but ultimately, the iris does stay open. And a little kid walks out.
Yeah. No, it's not a kid. The first thing you see is a hooded figure step through. So it's just, you can't tell how tall or small they are, really. Because it's very close up, so it's hard. But from the side, so you don't see, it's like hood. It has one of those hoods. Probably the same hood that we've seen from some priests on Chulak, to be honest. I think that hood.
The same. All right. So my interpretation.
Yeah.
With the step through, because you're right, we see just the feet first, and it looks like if you were wearing a teddy bear costume.
Yeah,
that's what the shoes are, and that's what the leg is.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking,
but it's fuzzy.
It's going to be a little kid wearing teddy bear pajamas.
Yeah, and
like seriously, that's exactly what I thought,
and that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, and then they pan up, and then there's the hood. And I felt like they were trying to give me mystery about
the
character. Yeah, but it didn't work, because I know it's a kid, and I'm still hung up on teddy bear pajamas.
Yeah.
And then the hood comes down like a big reveal.
Yeah. And then he kind of turns and looks at...
Peter DeLuise.
Dumbfounded machine gun operator. That's what I wrote down. And that is Peter DeLuise, exactly, as you pointed out. So that is his little cameo. And I have a quote from the interview. He said, "I played the uncredited role of a machine gun guard. If you've seen the episode, you'll remember the scene in which the security has been breached and all those guards come running into the gate room to confront this enemy who... comes through the gate. Here are all those strong, confident, heterosexual men pointing their guns at this little humanoid who, when he pulls back his hood, ends up being a tiny child. And I thought, someone's got to react to this, and it may as well be me." So I come out from behind the shield of my 25mm cannon and sort of give him a lingering look. Yeah, and then he says, "Every once in a while, I like to make a cameo appearance. It's almost like playing Where's Waldo, but with Peter DeLuise."
Oh, that's fantastic.
That was a fantastic, like, little story, like this, how he described it. And I mean, he did really look. It's like, huh? It's like, oh, what? That's a kid? And that's kind of, and he doesn't say anything. It's literally just his acting and his face. Like, I mean, literally, he's like in like... camo, helmet, everything. Like, there's not a lot acting happening. It's just his face. And he does it.
Yeah. So at this point, now we've gotten the most important part of the episode, Peter DeLuise cameo.
Yes.
And Wait.
Wait.
did I get that wrong again?
Yeah, I think you did.
Anyhow, so they decide to better search the kid because there is a track record of Goa'uld using children as weapons.
Yeah. So Carter does a Goa'uld check.
Right.
Yeah. And she's nice with kids. I like Carter with kids. I like that, like how she is, and I mean also like yeah. She's just good with kids, always.
I like Carter with kids.
Mm-hmm.
I like O'Neill with kids, and yes. I like Teal'c with kids.
Oh yeah, Teal'c with kids is fun.
the only person where I'm just kind of indifferent with them with kids is
Daniel.
Michael Shanks. Why did I forget his character name?
Yeah, Daniel, Michael Shanks. Yeah, but I mean, to be honest, he has a kid, but I also like for the character at least, I think the indifference goes both ways. I think he doesn't care too much about kids. At least not the character. I mean, I don't know Michael Shanks. I mean, he clearly has a daughter, so who knows?
I'm assuming it's a character thing, not a probably. Michael Shanks thing.
Probably, yeah. But as I said, Carter does a goal check, and there's no goal. So, hey, at least good news there. I mean, she does it really nicely. Like, she first, like, checks his hood and then behind his ears, because we know we've had that where something was behind the ears, like a weapon of some sort. And then she kind of hugged him.
Well, she kind of looked at his teeth, too.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Whether there's
because like we've had a tooth thing.
Yeah. And then, I mean, she does it really nicely and, like, it's not, like, she's really aware that that's kind of weird. But the kid also lets it happen. And then she hugs him and he seems to enjoy that. And then... Then she's like, yeah, she's clean.
Yeah. And then the kid finally talks.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I need to warn you. I'm here to warn you.
That's what he did.
I'm here to warn you. There we go. And then we get the opening credits.
Yes. So what did you think about this?
I thought it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
It gave us a setup. And so now we know that we have an episode where we have to work through confirming whatever warning the child has and make sure that it's still not a Goa'uld trap.
Yeah.
And then we will have a battle that goes along related to the threat.
Mm-hmm.
And then the episode will wrap up and we'll do a show.
And everybody's fine. Yay.
Everybody's fine.
Yes.
Well, everybody that needs to be fine because of their contract.
Yeah. Is still fine. Okay, that's true. Everybody who has a contract and has to come back. So,
interesting. Right. Yes. So that means we'll have our SG-1 team. We'll still have mm-hmm. General Hammond. We'll still have Doc Frazier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these other people.
Yeah, probably Jacob. I mean, they could kill him.
Oh, right, and Jacob.
They could kill him, but maybe. But well, I mean,
okay, so,
I think they like him too much, so he has to come back.
You know, even if you hadn't told me, don't worry, he's coming back, there's more Jacob stuff.
Hmm?
When this episode happened, at that point, I would have been like, okay, Jacob is really a recurring character, so mm-hmm. that's good.
Mm-hmm. So, let's go to the infirmary.
All right. So, Doc Frazier does her checkup and says, well, guess he's a human.
Mm-hmm.
She can't find any bomb things, any other hazards related to his body.
Mm-hmm.
So he's fine. He's hungry.
Yeah, he's a little malnourished. That's the only thing she notices. She's like, yeah, he is kind of malnourished.
Right. And it turns out he has an imaginary friend that he calls his mother.
Yeah, he knows about Jack, interestingly enough. Like, mm-hmm. Never even, they haven't even talked. But he knows about Jack. And yeah, as you said, he points to an empty bed and says his mother told him.
Now, I know what I'm supposed to think at this point,
mm-hmm.
which is that we have a kid that has an imaginary friend.
Mm-hmm.
However, my first thought is, Okay. They just told me that there's an invisible alien in this room.
Yes. I mean...
And so when we get the reveal later, it's not a surprise.
Since we've already had invisible people, invisible aliens, I'm actually not so sure that's what you were supposed to.
Wait, when did we have invisible aliens?
I think in Spirits. Didn't we have in Spirits invisible, kind of? Or like, kind of.
They were like shape-shifting.
Yeah. But I think, maybe kind of. I thought we had already some invisibles.
Before. So just to be clear, I'm not challenging you.
Yeah.
Because I assume you're right and I'm wrong.
Yeah. But either way.
And I'm just curious when it was.
Either way, I don't know if they were expecting that people were thinking he's imagining it or not. Because, I mean, it is at the end of the day a sci-fi show. So I think everybody, especially this early on in the episode, I think people are smart enough to say, okay, there's probably more to this.
Right. Yep. So
it could be that they were from the team's perspective, it's understandable that they at first would think trauma and whatever. But I think from the viewer's perspective, I'm not so sure that was what was expected. And they also cleared it up pretty quickly. It was not a big reveal. It was pretty quickly. They're like, okay, there's more to that.
Okay, fair. So what it comes down to is, once again, I have overanalyzed something where it was completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
At least I'm consistent, Patrice.
It's true. Yeah. So he tells that Mother has observed Jack and likes him. He can be trusted. She's right. Good judge of character.
Good call.
Yeah.
So I love how they establish this because they ask, well, how long has she been doing this? And it turns out it's weeks. Mm-hmm. And she started tagging along with them when they encountered the Tonane people.
Yes. Tonane was the guy. Just from Spirit.
Tonane was the guy. Yes. That's right.
Yeah.
So what I love about that is that once again, they're giving us this continuity between episodes. Yeah. So I think it really adds a lot to that feeling like this is an ongoing life and these aren't all episodes in bottles.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's not that you have to watch the other thing.
Right. So
it's like, if you didn't see it, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, turn on it, whatever. And it's not super important. It's just like, but for the people who have seen it and remember it, it's like, oh, okay, that's the connection. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that.
And then they do something where I'm like, seriously? Did no one catch this?
I think I know what you mean. I think I know what
you mean. So the little boy says that he can only speak with Jack.
Mm-hmm.
No, and... only Jack, no one else around.
Yeah.
And so General Hammond orders everyone out of the room.
Yeah.
And Jack sits down next to the kid. And right behind them is a guard still standing there.
Yes, exactly. I saw the same thing. I'm like, there's literally another person in the room. There's another guard just standing there.
Just established no one else in the room.
Exactly. Exactly. And I mean, it's not as if Jack needs a guard, right? Or the kid. Like, I mean, Jack can take care of himself. Yeah, I mean, he's been to freaking planets with, like, aliens and all of that alone with his team. So I think he can handle himself.
Right. And he's even been, outside the galaxy?
Oh, it's true.
Alone?
He's been. Yeah. So exactly. He does not need a guard.
He's been around.
Yeah. So this was, I saw that too. I'm like, oh, my God. who forgot to move? I mean, maybe it was literally a mistake. The guy was supposed to move and he just forgot, right? Extra forgot. And that was the shot they used.
Yep.
Maybe all the other takes, they were like, okay, he left. But this one time, he just forgot. And that's the one.
And but that was the best take. And so there you go.
Yeah, exactly. Today, you would probably just CGI him away and be like, whatever.
Yeah, or they'd be like, let's leave it in so that people have something to talk about.
Yeah.
Okay, now the next thing they do, if I'm remembering my chronology correctly, they do a setup where I get super excited about how the episode could end.
Okay.
And so they have this whole, Jack and the boy have this whole exchange back and forth, mm-hmm. Where the boy ends up saying that he knows that Jack has a son. Jack yeah. corrects him, had a son.
Yeah.
Ask the child's name.
Yeah.
Jack says it's Charlie. And yeah. then the boy says, I like that name. I want to be Charlie. And then Jack has this thing where you can tell it's like a really serious thought process mm-hmm. for him that happens very quick. And he goes, yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And, I really like that scene. It's a little scene, but that Jack accepted that and said, yeah, okay, that's fine. Like, yeah, shows so his
we get the
development, his growth, that he's okay with someone doing that. Not sure he would have done that beginning of season one.
No, he would not at all. It would have been a very different Jack experience.
Yeah.
So when we get to the end of the episode, mm-hmm. I'll tell you why I was very excited about what happened here.
Okay, good.
So we've got that all of that established, mm-hmm. and now we figure out who the invisible alien is. Mm-hmm. It's R2-R2.
R2-R2.
I'm sorry. R2, yeah. Every time they said the name in my head,
Artur,
like, boop beep, boop boop, R2-R2.
R2-R2. That's funny. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So the Goa'uld destroyed their world.
Yeah.
And so there's this big genocide, but some of the species is still alive.
Yeah.
And there's a rebel faction that has decided that they're going to come and kill humans.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what we get.
Yep. So we have a lot to unpack now.
Yes. You know where we need to do that.
We have to go to the exposition room.
Correct.
Which means we're probably going to get some Wikipedia or some Tealkopedia at some point.
But not this time. It's actually not that long.
Which is surprising.
Yeah, it's actually not that long, that scene. We get...
Oh, wait, I think... Well, we get back to character, because I'm sticking my exposition room scenes together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This one is not so long. They basically start out with, I think Sam explains that someone hacked the machine. I hacked the computer and controlled it from another computer. So someone remote controlled the iris basically from another computer.
Yep. See, so I totally did it. Mm-hmm. I messed up my chronology because I had the wrong exposition room scene
probably.
That I was going to talk about.
Yeah. If Fraser thinks
certainly.
Fraser thinks he is imagining Mother as a psychological defense mechanism. Do they still believe that she's not real?
Yeah.
I'm not believing that, to be honest, for a second. But okay.
Yeah, I mean, we all know. Mm-hmm. And
no, I mean, it's yeah, like so, with everything that someone remote controlled the machine, there is like an alien who seems to know a hell of a lot more about the people than he should. Yeah, that doesn't add up, to be honest.
Yeah, I felt like this scene, now that I remember where it mm-hmm. actually happens, felt a little contrived. Like they were trying to tell us, we want you to believe that the thing we know you don't believe is actually true for a little bit longer, gang.
Correct. So that we can do the typical where we have multiple people kind of doing multiple things at the same time.
Yeah.
So Hammond basically wants to validate the info the boy has given them, and Teal'c and Jack will interview the boy. You know, Teal'c and Jack, as always.
Right. So I get why it had to be Teal'c and Jack. But
yes.
Well, because that was necessary for the story.
Yes. But it's also Teal'c and Jack often work together, to be honest. It's very frequently that those two do things together.
Yes. However, and I agree with you. Mm-hmm. That's exactly how they mm-hmm. partner up Teal'c and Jack and Carter and Daniel.
Yeah.
What I would have done as General Hammond, I would have sent Jack and Carter.
Yeah, because she already has a connection with him. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it has to be. It had to be Teal'c, of course.
Right, because we wouldn't have gotten the important Teal'c needs Pepto-Bismol moment. And I swear that's exactly how that looked to me. Like oh my god, ate the wrong pizza. Uh-oh.
Oh my god, that is so funny. Yeah.
All right, but that's not now. Nope. We have to actually switch back to where the kid is.
Yeah, so we go to the infirmary. I mean, kind of, no, it does happen basically now. We go to the infirmary and the boy basically reacts very badly to Teal'c.
That's right. Yep. Yep.
And Jack once Jack kind of tries to talk to mom to convince her that Teal'c is okay. Because
but he's talking in the wrong direction.
He's talking in the wrong direction.
To say she's over there.
Yeah, and it's really, I mean, it makes sense, right? Because I mean, the Goa world. I mean, Teal'c should be like used to this kind of, because the Goa that and the Jafar are doing a lot of bad things and have done a lot of bad things, and he has done some bad things. So I think he's used to that reaction, and he doesn't really take it badly. Doesn't take it personally.
Yeah.
He actually tries to smile again. This was funny. He's getting better at it, actually. It looked more natural than before.
He's practicing.
I think he's probably standing in front of the mirror every evening and just practicing how to smile.
Mm-hmm. And every now and then, Jack or Daniel will give him tips. But
you should smile
more. That
would
be great. No. We need to have tips. little moments where Teal'c is trying to smile and one of the other team members is giving him pointers on how to do it. I think the way these actors all play off of each other, I think they could do some really clever things.
I mean, who knows? Maybe there is a hidden B-roll somewhere that someone shot where they were actually doing exactly that.
Well, I can't wait to see that come out on the next Blu-ray release or something.
Something like that, yeah. But that's it. He's definitely getting better, like, at it. And it seems to be working because he's allowed to come closer.
And then he starts having trouble.
Yes, he needs, as you said.
And this is where we get his Pepto-Bismol moment. Yes. And he excuses himself and
runs outside, basically.
He's like, I gotta leave. Bye.
Yes. And he goes outside into the hallway. And I think Jack follows him because, of course, he's concerned.
Yeah, and so he explains that he's never felt his gold, his junior, get like that upset.
Yeah, he's very agitated and kind of...
Agitated, there we go. Yeah.
Yeah, something is up. Fraser comes in, I think, and she reports she has some bad news. The boy was, how she put it, badly put together.
And once again, I'm screwing up the scenes because
yes,
because yeah. So there's the later scene where Jack gets the Phantom Mother that's actually real to. Oh, spoilers, everyone.
Yeah.
No, to accept everyone else. But okay, so yeah. Dr. No, Fraser comes
in. Actually, this happens in this scene. It's just towards the end. So Fraser comes in to basically deliver the bad news that she was putting bad together. They kind of think, or they speculate a little bit about Carter and especially Teal'c. And something, I think Jack says something about Carter or Teal'c might have ESP.
Oh,
something.
Like yeah. That. And so this is where Dr. Fraser talks about all the organ problems.
Yes.
And and when they did the CAT scan, there's part of his brain that's twice his size.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
As it would be in humans. And that's where the idea about ESP comes from.
Okay, that makes sense now. I wrote down only a letter C for who might have ESP, and I thought it was Carter, but it's actually Charlie might have ESP. Yeah, that makes sense. That actually makes more sense. No, my notes. Yeah, I usually just write down like short letters for the characters because otherwise it takes forever. So, but in this case, I probably should have.
All right. So then that means that that one of the lines that I absolutely love out of this episode happens here. Because this is where Charlie says that the rebels are doing a war where they're going to kill the Goa'uld through attrition.
Correct. Yes.
And Jack wants to know what that means. Mm-hmm. And Daniel explains to him what the definition of the word attrition is. Mm-hmm. And Jack's like, holy freaking shirtballs, dumbass. I know what the word means. I need the context. Exactly.
Yes.
So now I'm paraphrasing, but it's the sentiment.
Yes.
I nailed 100%, the sentiment.
100%. Yeah, Daniel was completely useless because that's not the question Jack had. I mean, of course he knows what attrition is. He's like a freaking military man and what is his rank now? I forget. No.
He's a colonel.
Colonel, yeah, thank you. So, like, he's leading teams and he's been in wars, whatever. Of course he knows what attrition means. Like, how stupid does Daniel think he is? Apparently because he has to explain that. I mean, he doesn't understand sometimes complicated, like, scientific things, but military terms, like, he's good with, so...
Yeah, he knows what attrition
is. Exactly.
But anyhow, I mean, the way Daniel...
Yeah.
Says that he's genuinely trying to be helpful.
Yeah, but he's also completely useless this episode, just FYI.
Oh yeah, Daniel doesn't need to be in this episode.
No, he's just there because he has a contract and needs to be there.
Right, and I am certain in this episode, now that you're bringing this up, that the lines Daniel has hit the minimum required for his contract.
Oh, 100%, yes. Yeah, so you're right. So we learned that's why the central authority of the Ritu sent them, Charlie and Mother, there.
Mm-hmm.
Mother created him as an intermediary. That's what he says.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Hammond asks Carter whether it's possible there's an indivisible Ritu in the room. And then, I like that. Carter delivers like some complete BS scientific things, something about 180 degrees out of phase bullshit.
Oh, yeah. This whole part was absolutely ridiculous. And it falls squarely into my ham-fisted bucket for this episode.
Yeah,
this whole exchange between these two is totally that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, maybe someone can explain to me whether that's true, is actually real or not, but for me, at least, it sounded like complete BS.
Oh, yeah, it sounded like complete garbage to me, too.
Yeah. Hammond asks actually a very important question. Because, I mean, he wants to know how Mother controls the Iris. Because that is quite important from a security standpoint.
Mm-hmm. And so I think at this point, is this where the boy says, okay, she's getting impatient with you because you're focusing on all the wrong things here?
Right after. He first explained that came weeks ago, and when the time came, she just typed in the computer. She watched them and learned how to use the computer and just typed it in. And then she says that. And as if to make her point, she shoots a monitor. If there were any doubts that she's real at this point, she just shoots a monitor. She's like, okay, this is enough.
Yeah. And so I love how they do the camera shot from the backside of the monitor. Mm-hmm. And then General Hammond gets down, so you're looking at him as he's looking through the hole.
Yes. That was also prop-wise, very well done.
Like, yeah, very well done. And then
monitor, like, you know, one of those CRTs, like big honking thingies, and he just looks through a hole in there.
Yeah, so that was kind of funny. But then he asks Carter if this is possible. Okay, it just fracking happened, General. And she offers up another BS physics sci-fi babble.
No, that already happened. We already talked about that it's possible that someone is out of phase. That happened before.
Yeah, but then it comes up after the shooting thing. Like, how can she do this?
I don't think so. At least I didn't write it down. I mean, for me, at least, we went to exposition room right away.
Okay, well, then one of two things have happened. I added in more to the scene because it felt like they needed to ham-fist some more information at us.
Yeah, or I forgot because it was not important.
Because it was not important. But either way, now we go back to the exposition room.
For a very brief scene. It's not, it's literally, I wrote down two sentences because the gist of it, it's not a lot.
And
maybe this is where that happened, what you just mentioned, and I didn't write it down because all I've written down is it's obvious that the Ritu exists.
Right. So finally they're on board with the audience. Like, with okay, this character is here.
Yeah. And then they're like, oh, maybe the Tok'ra can help. Because of what happened with Teal'c, right?
Right. And that seems like a completely reasonable thing for them to go for.
Yeah. So let's signal them.
And then we get this scene that I cannot believe they spent the money to set up the scene.
The outside sending scene?
The outside sending scene, because they were able to reuse part of a shot.
The majority of it. Literally, it's like 5 seconds of Carter and Sam outside, and then the rest is reuse.
Right. So they had to set up the thing with Carter and Daniel. Mm-hmm. And then they could cut in the shot of the signal as it's flying into space.
Yeah.
But I think they could have just as easily said,
"Oh, let's use the toll
toss a line. We'll send it right now."
Yeah, the point was here that they used the Tollan device that we got in I think one of the last episodes. Last time we had Tok'ra and Martouf was there, we got that.
Yes, Martouf gave it to them. Yeah. Yep, yeah. You're right.
Smartouf. You're right. It kind of, wasn't needed at all. Let's signal them. I'll use the Tollan device and that's it.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, they probably needed another couple seconds. They're like, okay, let's just do that.
Yeah.
It wasn't expensive to shoot that.
Yeah, okay. Well, and now that they've shot it, I could absolutely see them in some future episode using that clip, not in a clip episode.
Probably, yeah. It's possible.
But using that exact same piece to signal the Tok'ra.
Could be. So we get Jacob comes through the gate.
I'm happy because Jacob's back.
Yeah, with another Tok'ra in the background.
Mm-hmm. The necessary one because he's necessary because you have to keep Jacob there so they can
they need to send someone back. So there has to be a second.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
And so off the other guy goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When Thalmak hears about the Ritu, like they mentioned it, they didn't send him. Oh, like a whole message about, oh, there's Ritu and whatever. They just send, come here, basically, right? It's just call me, please.
Mm-hmm.
So Jacob comes through and like he doesn't know why. He's just like, okay, someone called, so I'm coming. It's not Zoom. So, I mean, right. Why not? Okay, but it's not Zoom. It has to fly pretty far, so maybe that's why. He hears about Ritu or Thalmak or Jacob. I think it's Thalmak in this case. He basically immediately orders the other guy to, like, with some Tok'ra words to just go back and do something.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know what he says because it doesn't explain. There's no subtitle or anything.
But it sure sounds serious.
Yes, and I think he says, "Please let him dial back." Basically, so he does. He gets. He leaves.
Yep. So so now presumably that person has come back because at this
Not yet. We first go to the infirmary with Jacob. Jacob goes to visit Charlie. Of course, he wants to
meet them. Right.
Yeah. Yep. And then
And Charlie freaks out because he thinks it's another Goa'uld.
Yeah, because, yes. And Jacob gets a headache.
Right. And
then we get the guy back with the detector thing. It was pretty quick. It was literally just like this little thing.
Okay.
I guess we needed some extra time, so we had time to go back, fetch the thingy or two, and come back.
And luckily, they keep those things right by their Stargate, so that right, he can run out and yeah, and say, "Okay, give me the Star-Lord guns, so that I can run back through real fast."
Exactly.
And yes. And so he does.
Yeah. And they enable it, and then they can see some insect-looking creature, basically. Nice special effect, to say.
And, okay, so I liked the effect. Mm-hmm. And I like that the invisible alien, when they finally get a glimpse of it, it looks completely alien.
Yes.
It is not human design on any level.
Yeah. You know what it reminded me of?
I really like that. It reminded me of Starship Troopers.
Actually, yes, that would also be true. I was more thinking Babylon 5, The Shadows. But it's very similar.
Also Yeah. Okay, that's kind of funny that I remembered Starship Troopers before Babylon 5.
Yeah, yes.
Which I have seen the entire series, and it was fine.
It was fine. It's like, it's fine. I love it. Yeah. But okay, different time, different show. We get to see them. It's nice. And Jack promises Charlie that they won't be hurt. Pretty strong promise, but okay.
But I thought it was a very important promise because Jack has essentially been breaking the promise of being the only person that's talking because he keeps bringing people into the room.
That's true. No, but I think he also steps in a little bit into the role of his dad, basically. So of course he's going to protect Charlie.
Yes, and this is what makes it so important because he is doing the dad thing for Charlie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we go back to the exposition room. Now we get a little bit more.
Right. So now we're learning a little bit more about how Charlie was made.
Mm-hmm.
So there was
some genetic engineering.
Mm-hmm. And we find out that the Goa'uld felt. Or perceived the R2-R2s as a threat, so they were just wiping them out preemptively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But now we get some tactical information.
Yeah. Jacob knows how they operate, which is very important. So he's heard of them, I guess. I mean, yeah, they have the detectors, but he's also apparently heard of the R2. I mean, given that they are very deep in Goa'uld society, not unreasonable, I would say. I mean, Goa'uld clearly wiped them out or tried to, so I'm assuming there is some information available. So we get groups of five that infiltrate places and destroy them.
And I'm assuming that they got this information by stealing intel from Goa'uld.
Yeah. Yes. What's also very clear to them is that they need more intelligence.
Right. So now we need to go to the planet where these rebels are.
Yeah.
Which is
And Jack says
a thing that we already knew. Is that right?
No, we didn't know where the planet was. I mean, we knew there was a planet, we just didn't know where. But Jack says, Jack says, we'll ask Mother, and then they will go to the, when they get the address, they will go to the planet. He goes to the infirmary, and Charlie is crying.
Right. Okay. Yep. Yeah.
And we get like a really nice scene with Jack. So he has an official list of reasons to cry.
And mom leaving in a couple days is like number 5 or 6 on the list.
I wrote it down. He says, now see, that's a good reason. Mom leaving, I believe, is number 6 on the list of good reasons. Actually, 6 is mom says she's leaving in a couple of days. 5 is mom leaving immediately. 4, of course, is mom already left. Now 3 is huge. One of the bigger ones on the list.
And Charlie stops him and says, yeah, she's right there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he was trying to figure out if whether mom is still there because he needs intel. And mom apparently says she believes once she's shared all the intel, and Charlie will be staying because he definitely is in better hands with humans. So with his own kind, I think he says. And then we get a really nice scene between Jack and Charlie.
We do. Yeah. I'll ask my question after we discuss the scene.
Sure. So I wrote it. I copied it out of the transcript because it's really neat. Because Charlie says, Jack, can I be your son for a while? And Jack says, and he's honest, he says, I don't know, Charlie. I don't think you'd want that. Right? With his history and his work also.
Yeah. And Charlie's like, no, I think you'd be great.
Yeah. He says, you'd be great. I can tell. Yeah. And O'Neill says, I'll tell you what, let's deal with this Ritu, and then we'll talk about it, okay? And Charlie says, okay, and Jack says, okay. So it's a nice little thing. He doesn't say no.
I thought it was a really nice scene.
He doesn't say yes. He's like, okay, let's see.
Yeah. But I really did like that scene.
Yeah, very kid-friendly answer. Okay, maybe later, and then, you know, they will forget.
So here's my question.
Yes.
Have we already had the scene where we find out why Charlie is so young and why everything in his body just isn't working right? Or does that come later?
I mean, we did get some explanation from Dr. Fraser, if you mean that he was basically made and that not made very well because in a hurry. I don't know if that was here.
Yeah, because there's the point where Charlie talks about how his accelerated growth made it he was unstable and it made it necessary to talk to the humans now as opposed to when he was older, which was earlier already.
I probably skipped over that. I think at least.
It's all right. I talk about the episode out of order, so it completely fits that I would bring it up now.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, so they get the address. I don't remember if Jack actually got it or he just says, okay, let's go.
I thought mom put it in.
Yeah, typed it
in for them.
Something like that, yeah. At least they're going now. So they go to the planet to do some snooping around.
Yeah, and the Toker go with them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the two. I mean, Jacob and the other guy.
Yeah, so you have a bunch of soldiers, a couple Tokra, and
SG-1.
And Jack and Teal'c, a couple Star-Lord guns.
Yes. One of them they put on the MALP so that they could see before they go through that. Like,
oh, that's
the area is clear. And then I think Jack grabs it right away after he's through. So he has one of his own. Yeah. So result is, I mean, the Tok'ra get pretty sick quickly, get headaches and all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they go to like
so we know that quarry, the bad guys are nearby.
Yeah, and there's a kind of looks like a quarry that they filmed this in for like 5 seconds.
It looked really familiar.
Yes, so they go like there's a big hole in the ground, basically massive from the looks of it, and apparently that's where the Ritu are, and they point their phaser thingies, the turrets on it, and there's a lot of them, like a lot.
And it was another Starship Troopers moment.
It's 100%. That is 100%. It looks like a scene out of Starship Troopers. 100%.
So I liked that that they actually spent the money on the special effect to show us this this whole basin just full of Rebels.
I don't know what special effects cost in 1998, but I'm assuming, I mean, we're not that far away from Lord of the Rings, for example. So I'm assuming, especially, it doesn't have to be very high resolution or anything. It's just very far away and like a lot of them. So it's just a mess. So I guess it probably didn't cost that much. Just copy and paste, basically, probably.
Yeah, but still, the fact that they did the effect, I thought was great. Because they could have...
there's a lot of them and go away.
Yeah, they could have just given us dialogue to explain that. But getting to see the shot, I was so glad they did that.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So now, at this point, I was feeling like they have given us a huge setup for what happens next.
Yes, they did.
Well, because we already know that Mother came through undetected.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they just went to the planet with all of the bad guys.
Yes.
And they're going to open the gate to go back home.
Yeah.
So that's our setup for, we're going to have a lot of bad guys for the big fight in Stargate Command.
Yeah. I mean, turns out that's not what happened, but that was a possibility. I mean, we did get the fight, but they didn't come back with them. They were already there.
Right. I mean, they came through, just it wasn't with this, in this moment.
Yes. But so we go back to the expo room, brief explanation of to Hammond what they saw. In four words, a lot of them.
A lot of them, yep.
And Carter has an idea. She's like, oh, we could put in palm scanners to limit access to the iris, which, yeah, that's a good idea. Definitely don't want here. Other Ritu to open irises and let more through.
Right. And I liked her line about, well, we could put in palm scanners. I mean, they don't have palms, right? Something yeah, like true. That.
Yes, that makes sense. Yeah, so they do. They put them in, and then all of a sudden, Teal'c feels a Ritu in the gate room.
And it's not Mom.
Yeah, I think, don't they even call Infirmary real quick to ask if the Mom is still there? I think they do.
Yeah, well, and Jack had already asked Charlie and Mother to stay in the infirmary.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, and it's they agreed not Mom, to. So alarm!
Mm-hmm.
I think, was it? No, Tok'ra gets shot by the Ritu, by a ball thingy.
Yep.
Yeah. And then Teal'c kills the Ritu with a TER.
Mm-hmm.
So one down. So four more to go.
One down. Yeah. And since we know from the intel that Jacob gave us, they operate in cells of five.
Yeah. Yeah. As long as there's only one cell, which we don't know, but as long as there's only one cell, there should
be four. Yeah, there should be four more. And
we learned that they have cross-phasic explosives, which is how they can affect our phase, basically. And they also want to leave SGC because they want to destroy the world, of course. They want to destroy all humans. So it's like not enough to just destroy SGC.
Right. And we know that with the explosives they likely have with them, they can destroy several cities.
Yeah. Yeah. And then maybe
not enough to destroy all the humans.
Yeah, but then they could open the gate again. Start. And then continue. Mm-hmm. Right. So.
Mm-hmm.
So let's hunt them. So, yeah, and I so really like their strategy here. I really liked it because, I mean, like, how do you, I mean, they have TERs, but only, I think, two of them, or maybe three.
Right. So they have to split them up between teams.
Yeah. And, but how do you clear how do you clear a facility when you can't see the others, or you can only see them when you're pointing the ray gun at them, right? The TER.
Right.
So what they do is they basically clear with the TR the area, and then they close the blast door, so because they definitely cannot go through matter. that we've right. established for some reason.
Right. And we have established human weapons, Jacob established mm-hmm. this words earlier, human weapons won't stop them.
But they will
slow them. Might slow them down a little bit.
Yeah, because they're still interacting. I mean, that, actually, yes, this is also why the blast doors work, because they still interact and with our with matter, just like mm-hmm. maybe differently, but still they do. So walls and floors, and otherwise it would fall through all everything. So that kind of makes sense. But mm-hmm. yeah, so we get some hunting. Some soldier is killed. There's a really hilarious outline on the door when he gets shot.
Oh yeah, the Doctor Who outline.
Yeah,
like seriously, when I saw the outline, yeah. I'm like, oh yeah, I've seen this from Dalek yes. attacks in Doctor Who.
There's more than one Dalek thing, because I think later somewhere in there, there's a scene with Carter. Like one of the Rito is in an elevator, and we see the weapon stick out, and it literally looks like a Dalek weapon, a modern Dalek weapon, not the old school, 60s, 70s yeah. version, more the
I
modern version.
I hadn't thought about it, but yeah.
But it literally looks like that.
Yep, like, yep.
Yeah,
yep.
I literally even wrote it down. So Jacob gets injured, Thelma can heal him, Carter throws a grenade in the elevator, and the Rito weapon looks like a blast weapon from Doctor Who. That's what I wrote down. And they kill another Rito, two down. They wrote down exterminate.
I love how we end up on the same page without realizing it.
Yeah. I was like, that was literally Doctor Who. Yeah. So let's go to the infirmary. They've cleared everything else.
Right. And yeah. So now we have everyone like grouped in the infirmary.
Mm-hmm. Jack is there.
So and we're getting close to the end of the episode. So yeah. You know this is where the final showdown is going to mm-hmm. happen.
Yes.
And so now they're doing their Star-Lord gun scans.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they need to check how many Rito are there. I mean, they know Mother is there, but I mean, who knows whether there's more, right?
If there's others, yep.
Yes, which makes no sense.
Well, okay. There are.
This part didn't make any sense, because I'm assuming...
Needing to know if there's more
yeah.
makes sense.
No, but I'm assuming that Rito can see each other. Because they're in the
same
face.
I would assume as much.
So yeah. If there was more than Mother in the room, then I would assume that Mother would know. But turns out she doesn't.
Exactly. Yes.
So that made no sense. But okay, story, let's hand wave it away. Fine. They can't eat. Yeah. The rebels have a different cloaking technology. Whatever.
Whatever. Yeah. No, I'm with you. It seemed weird.
Yeah.
Because of the placement of where they were in the room, that Mother wouldn't know yeah. that the rebels were there.
Yeah. So one fires at Jack. But Mother kills it, basically. She sees it and kills it.
Mm-hmm.
So three down. They count. So there's one more. And then Mother gets killed by the other. And I think, was mm-hmm. it Teal'c or someone shoots the last? So now right. all so, Rito, including Mother, are down.
Right.
They know of.
that they know of.
Yeah.
And yeah. So
decide, okay, let's finish the sweep just in case. Like, there might be more, right? There could be a second cell, the third cell, who knows?
But I like the interaction with Jack
yeah.
and Charlie, because mm-hmm. now Jack is consoling Charlie because mm-hmm. his mother is dead.
Yeah. And then he falls unconscious in Dex's arm.
Right. So we know he's about to die.
Yes.
And we've already established from Dr. Fraser that the likelihood that with the current state of Earth medical technology
yeah.
that they could keep him alive is mm-hmm. is very low.
Basically, no.
So yeah, he's about to die.
Yeah, he is about to die. I think they even have to save him briefly, because otherwise he would have already died. And Selmac has an offer. He's like, they could take him. And they could help him with the symbiote, because of course they can heal, like things like that, apparently. They can heal a lot of things, so why not?
You know, I mean, you can heal cancer. Symbiotes are like magic.
Yeah, I mean, they can heal. I mean, why not? Like, if it's literally just like whatever degradation of cells and whatever, it's like cancer.
Yeah, okay, that's a good
point. So why not?
Okay.
Yeah. Jack really has to think about it. But then he says, let's do it, because he says two key words: grow up. Like, he wants to, I mean, yes, a questionable choice in this situation. At least in that scene, I was questioning that, because I was like, okay, I get that. Yes, he's going to grow up. But I mean, he's old enough, I would assume, that he would have a say in this.
Yeah, and now you're taking a child, putting a symbiote in them, leaving them with the Tok'ra.
Yeah.
You've just created another Tok'ra soldier.
I mean, which is fine if the kid is okay with it.
If the kid is okay with
it. And I mean, yes, otherwise...
he didn't have any say in it.
Yes, and I mean, for sure, it is a very difficult thing, because on one hand, I think Charlie should have a say. On the other hand, he's probably too young to fully grasp the consequences, right? So it is a very difficult place to be in. I think it's okay that at the end of the day, Jack decides this. And I mean, we see in the next scene that Charlie's awake and that he seems to be okay with it. But in this situation, he's unconscious. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Not sure. And I know also the rules that Tok'ra usually don't accept that. Like, the host should know what they're doing.
Right. And so this brings us to the setup that made me so excited at the beginning of the episode.
Okay.
Because we knew that we were going to have the Jack and Charlie father-son dynamic thing happening.
Yes.
And for Jack, this is... I mean, there will always be this very vulnerable, raw part of his heart because of losing his own son in a very tragic firearms accident.
Yeah.
And now he's allowing himself to be vulnerable with this Charlie.
Yeah.
And he is taking on a fatherly role.
He is, absolutely. I mean, he just made the decision like a father would.
Exactly. And I'm just loving all of this, because it's this very powerful dynamic and we're getting to see Jack in a situation where he has to allow himself to have that vulnerability.
Yeah, but also be like a actual dad, an actual person, not just a military cog in the wheel.
Yeah. Yes. And so I'm just loving all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then they let me down, because then Jacob's like, hey, you know, we can give him a symbiote and fix him and he'll be fine.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, come on. You just totally ruined an amazing opportunity here to give us this new thing for Jack. And the new thing is, he now has to cope with the fact that this kid that he just really bonded with and is calling himself Charlie dies in his arms.
Yeah.
And he has to deal with the emotional fallout of that.
Yeah. I disagree here a little bit. I mean, it is kind of the Tok'ra out of, what is it called? Deus Ex Machina. Tok'ra out of the machine, that basically Tok'ra ex machina, whatever. Right? But at the end of the day, I mean, maybe today it would be okay to let the kid die, but I think back then, like network television, all of that, I think they couldn't do that.
Okay.
They had to find some way. I mean, you remember Cassandra was another situation like that. They had to find a way how to save them.
Yeah, okay.
And this was kind of a cop out. But also, I think, a convenient one. They're like, okay, the Tok'ra already here. Let's have them go with him and they will fix him.
It did feel contrived.
Yeah. But as I said, I like the part that Jack still gets some moment of growth and truth. Because he is in his kind of role as the dad. And I think despite the fact that he said earlier, let's figure out the redo thing and then we'll talk about can Jack be his dad? I think he already is. I think he, without knowing it, or maybe even knowing it by now, he accepted that. Or at least this is the situation where he will accept it, basically. Because he takes on the responsibility of making that life or death decision at some point, right? You can live with a Tok'ra together, which I think in Jack's mind is still not super desirable, even after everything.
Right.
Or die. Which is also not super desirable. So it's a very tough decision, and he makes the decision, and he makes a decision with Charlie in, or actually mostly with, or 100% with Charlie in mind. It's not about him. Will he feel bad? Can we let the kid die? He's about the two key words: grow up. Mm-hmm. Charlie gets a chance to actually grow up and be a real kid and a real person, even with a however many hundred year old Tok'ra.
Yep. So, yep. Okay. And I like that Jack is in a position where he has to make hard choices. I'm glad they did
that. But also, every dad, dads have to, or parents have to make these decisions sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. Do you risk your kid's life with a surgery, or do you let it die, right? That is a tough choice. I don't know if there's some, need a transplant or something. That is a pretty difficult decision sometimes, because there's a risk, probably not even small risk, a big risk, they might die sometime. But they might die anyway if you don't do anything. So it is, I think, a very difficult position to be in. And he takes it on as Charlie's dad. Mother is gone. Mother is dead. So he's the only one who can make it. And
that's okay true. And actually, as you're saying this, when you hit on mother's gone, it reminded me of another thing that I liked about what they did with the whole Charlie and the surrogate parent dynamic thing. Yeah. I'm so glad it was Jack.
Yeah.
And not Carter.
Oh, so true.
Because it would have been so easy to do the stereotype of let her be the motherly figure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's mother, and then the Ritu is maybe male instead, and just the dad, whatever. You could have done it that way.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
But no, they didn't. The Ritu is his mother, and he, not really, but so, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's
good
one,
on them.
Yeah. There's one thing, but I'll mention that after.
Okay.
Let's finish this, because there's literally one scene left. So we go to the gate room to wrap up, to leave. And SGC can keep the TRs, Jacob says. Great. Yay. New weapons.
Right.
Charlie is awake.
At least they look better than the Zat guns.
That's true. They do not look as ridiculous as the Zat guns. Can we replace the Zat guns with the TRs? Probably not.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
That would be great. That's probably not. Charlie is awake, which is good. And that's what I mentioned earlier. Like before, he was like, Jack made the decision without having any chance to talk to Charlie. But I mean, he's awake now. And I'm assuming we don't get to see that. And that would have been an interesting scene. Instead of the stupid, let's send a message to the Tok'ra, maybe you should have done that scene.
Yes, they should have.
Yeah, but Charlie is awake and has a little scene with Jack, and Jack says, you know, there's another rule that says it's okay to be sad when you're saying goodbye to a new friend.
So, which was nice.
Which was nice. And then Selmak comes in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he says, I warn you, the Ritu are guileful creatures, and you are at the disadvantage of not being able to sense them as much a far friend and I can.
This line made me so happy.
Yes. And Carter says,
well, I was afraid they'd just given us a throwaway alien. And this line tells me we did not, in fact, get a throwaway alien of the week. We have a new adversary for Stargate Command to deal with every now and then to mix it up so it's not always the go old.
I'm debating whether I should tell you something.
Just okay. Don't.
No, I think
so
I have
to. I can be surprised or disappointed when the time comes.
I think I have to because it will never come up. So they were supposed to be the big bad and they never came up again.
So oh, that's come my, on, that's people.
My, that's my point. That's why I debated last like week or so whether I should tell you that. But I know that if I don't, we will simply forget about it because they were kind of forgotten. They get mentioned like I think once somewhere in passing and that's about it. So it's not very impactful. They were actually supposed to be the big bad and I don't know what happened and they just never came back again. So it
that's
is
actually
a little bit sad.
Really disappointing.
It is really disappointing because we get this whole episode as a really good setup and then just never happens.
Yeah, I mean there's so much you could do with yeah,
maybe,
all of this.
Maybe they were just too expensive at the end. You know.
That could be. All right, so that tells me we'll never see Charlie again.
People with,
because that would have been
that I actually don't remember to be honest. Could be. So people with I don't know big ropes and hats and glowing eyes are just easier than multi-legged aliens. So
yeah, I guess that's that
unless
is super
unless you're Babylon 5, then you have no problem with all kinds of aliens. But in this case, apparently
yeah. Well,
they
to
did.
Be fair, they put their money into those effects on Babylon 5 and not into the set construction.
Correct. Well, also not the CGI. It was mostly the practical aliens. The CGI was
that's
also
true.
Kind of cheesy sometimes. Yeah. Anyway, Carter says we've installed the hand scanner so they can't open the iris at least. And Salmak turns to Teal'c and says, you are only one, Teal'c. Please be diligent. They will not give up. They will attempt to send more infiltrators, and then they leave. So this is it.
And
it's yeah. And hindsight,
I just thought that was such a wonderful setup, and I was so excited.
It was perfect, and I think everybody thought exactly what you thought, including me. But unfortunately, as I said, there's like two mentions later on, but they get like in passing get mentioned for something, but not. That's it. Unfortunately, that would have been a really good. Yeah, as I said, it was, I think, as far as we know, at least, it was supposed to be exactly that. That's like, okay, we have to go old, of course, but that would be good to have a second, kind of make it more interesting.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But turns out, at least, that wasn't it.
That is super disappointing.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, kind of, but also maybe not. We haven't seen a lot about them, so it's like it's not that we lost a lot now.
Well, there was just so much potential. That's
there was a lot of potential. Yes, yeah. Maybe there's a lot of fan fiction about the Ritu and what happened.
You know, it would not surprise me if there. I would be shocked if there wasn't a lot of fanfic about the R2 Ritu.
The R2 Ritu. Yeah. As I said, I'm sorry I had to spoil that for you and kind of. Break that for
no
you,
that's
but
okay
also,
it had to
I know
happen.
It yeah I know it wouldn't it would have never come up again because we would have just forgotten about them
well and we would have gotten to the end of the series and
you wouldn't even remember that they existed at this point
right so I wouldn't have had the opportunity at the end to complain about the fact that we never saw the R2-R2 again
yes yeah so that's the end of this episode
yeah all right. Well, okay, Patrice, how many,
okay.
Well, yeah, thoughts. Okay. Thoughts. There's a lot of potential for really cool things in this episode. Mm-hmm. Some of them play out.
Yeah.
Some of them don't. And well, like the ending for Charlie that I thought we were going to get and we didn't. That was a disappointment for me, but you are right. When this series was made, and I have to keep reminding myself that there's that context, they probably would not have been able to get away with letting that character die.
Yeah, exactly. Would not have happened.
But his rescue, if you will, is it felt so contrived.
Yeah, that's it. Deus Ex. No, Tok'ra Ex Machina.
That is so fantastic.
Yeah.
Totally so smacking. I love that.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
Still, there's some cool stuff.
I'm 100% with you on that one. It's even though it is, as I told you now, a one-off episode, I do remember it, and it is a really cool episode. Because it's really, it is an interesting, action-filled thing almost, right? I mean, we have the whole thing with Charlie and what's going on, and okay, there's an alien and all of that. And then, we have invisible foes that we have to fight and figure out how to fight because we've never fought anybody invisible. Figure it out and save the Earth. And it's kind of a nice action story. So and we get to see Jacob and we get to see Doc Fraser and we have this nice things with Charlie and Jack, and Carter gets a little bit to do and then disappears, and Daniel gets to say useless things.
Daniel gets a cameo
that disappears. So it's like, and Teal gets a stomach ache and then disappears. So everybody was there somewhere. It's definitely a Jack centric episode. Hammond has a little bit more, I would say, and of course Fraser is there quite a bit, so it's basically those three, and I really enjoy it. It's an enjoy. Even though I know that it was the enemy that never was, I still really enjoy that. Like, it was an intriguing way of approaching this and saying, like, what if there's things we don't see and they come through and they want to hurt us. Like, what do we do? How do we fight that? Yeah. And they figure it out. They have to, but they figure it out. I mean, good thing they have help. So,
yes.
Yeah. We also now know that it's possible. Oh, there's one thing I want to mention. Yes. So, you know how it was mentioned that Mom used DNA to create Charlie?
Mm-hmm.
And Mom also likes Jack a lot. So there is a possibility that, and they never check it or explain it or talk about it, there is a possibility that he's actually his son, like genetically.
Oh, wow. Okay. I had not even thought about that till right now. I'm glad I was sitting for you to drop that one on me.
Yeah. I mean, never mentioned. But I think you can put that together. I mean, she got the DNA from somewhere and she liked Jack, so.
And how likely is it that
she just randomly generated DNA, or that she just picked some random person? I would say not very likely.
I agree, not very likely. Huh. I love this whole idea that that he was Jack's son.
Yeah.
In a manner of speaking.
Yeah, exactly. Also thinks something is not mentioned. She must have left and come back in between. Because she watched them, collected the DNA, but Charlie came from off-world. So she somehow went back, created Charlie, came back to make sure that he could arrive safely. Right?
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah, so it's a lot of little interesting things in this episode. So, it's a good episode. Like, even though it didn't matter as much at the end. But you don't know that.
Yeah.
Or you didn't know that. Now you know it. But it's still a good ride. Like, it doesn't matter. It's still.
Yeah, it's... Although, I am super disappointed that it turned out to be an episode in a bottle.
Yeah. Yeah, I said, I don't remember if Charlie ever comes back, so that it's possible that he did.
I'm guessing he doesn't, because if they didn't pursue...
He's now a Tok'ra, but it's also, with kids, you don't want to work too much because it's kind of expensive and difficult, and so maybe...
Well, what they could do is have an adult play the character next time they see him and say... Yes, his Goa'uld saved him, but wasn't able to slow down the growth acceleration until it was an adult.
Yeah, and it's possible that happened, and I just don't remember. I don't remember every little thing and every character that comes, and it is actually possible that he does show up at some point.
I mean, I cannot fault you for that, Patrice. I mean, I can't even remember the order of what happens in episodes that I just watched.
That's true, yeah. So let's see. Maybe he comes back and we'll watch him. So watch out for little Charlie. Or not so little Charlie. Good. So we should talk about chevrons.
We should. So how many chevrons for you, Patrice?
Difficult one. I'm debating whether it's a 7 or 6, to be honest. I think it's good enough that it's a minimum 6. And I'm just debating, is it enough for me for a 7, knowing what I know, or is it not? It's kind of difficult to decide, to be honest, because what I know. So I'm gonna say a 7. Let's give it a 7. I'm it's like the longer I talk, the more it will be a 6. So let's give it a 7.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, for me, this one was easy. It's a really solid 6.
Okay, good.
And
maybe I should change mine. I'm kind of with you. I'm like,
who makes the rules? We can do whatever we want.
Okay,
all right. I'll change mine. I'll explain to you why it's a 6 for me. We've hit a point with season 2 where the threshold for an episode being good has gone up because we have a lot more consistency in the writing. Mm-hmm. For these episodes.
Yeah.
So in season 1, this one would have been, well, at the time, a 7 because we didn't have 8 chevrons yet.
That's true.
But with the scale sliding up because of the overall quality.
Yeah.
This is like a solid episode. Mm-hmm. At the level that I expect episodes to be. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's entertaining. Yeah. It's put together well. Mm-hmm. Sure, there's some flaws, but hey, we're going to find flaws in probably every episode.
Yeah, of course. It's also easy to criticize an episode because you're not in that situation with the budget and time constraints and whatever you have. Like,
it's the luxury we have of critiquing a show that's over 20 years old.
That's true as well, yeah. Yeah, no, I'm with you. It's that the scale has shifted a little bit, and for me, it's definitely a high. I changed it. It's a high 6.
Yeah, mine's definitely a high 6.
Yeah,
it's a really good episode. A 6 for me is not bagging on an episode.
No. Yeah, exactly. There's no half chevron, so can't do that. But if we could, it would be. Would be.
I'm glad we don't do half chevrons
No, it's definitely fully, properly, 100% solidly locked in 6.
Okay. And I am looking forward to what is coming next.
Well, there's an episode coming. The episode title is a number. It's 1969. Any idea what that could be?
Well, I mean, it could be a reference to a code. It could be a date because 1969 is 1969.
Yeah.
It could refer to a quantity.
Oh, okay.
Distance.
Yeah, could be. Could be a lot of things. Everything.
It could be a lot of things.
Yes, one of your guesses will be correct.
Well, my assumption is if I knew the German title, it would just be a spoiler.
Probably yes. Yeah, I would say that's a pretty safe bet. Yes. Yeah. So you will have to watch the episode now, and then we'll have to come back and talk about it. And I mean, I did mention to you that the next one, because I wanted to motivate you a little bit, the next one is really good. So at least for me, it's one of the great episodes that I remember. So you'll see. Okay. You will have to make your own form your own opinion about it, but
I think we've established over all the episodes we've done, I have no problem forming my own opinion.
Good.
you sometimes temper my opinion with some clarity, but I'm forming my own opinions on these.
Good. So I'm looking forward to it at least. So that much I can tell you.
Well, like I say every episode, I'm looking forward to the next one.
Good. Then we should close this. Let's try to close the iris with our palm scanners now.
Right now, they're just making it more complicated all the time.
Yes.
First, they added more chevrons. Now we have to use a palm scanner.
Yeah. What's next?
Then there'll be
passwords.
Right.
16-digit passwords.
That's what it is. It's the passcode for the iris.
Okay.
They put a 4-digit pin on one of the most critical and strategic assets for the whole planet.
Yeah. One. Maybe that's what the next episode title is about. Maybe that's the pin.
Could be. All right. So, Patrice, before we do close the iris and keep it closed until the next time, where can people find you?
Well, every week with you on the British Tech Network, Big Show, Mac Show, where we talk about tech things, tech news, Apple, non-Apple, like all of it. And everything I'm doing on my website, thepatrice.com, takes you there. That's where you find the social media links, the podcast, the projects, literally everything.
Awesome. All right.
How about you?
All right. Well, how about Jay Gamut on the social medias?
Easy to find.
Mastodon, Blue Sky, and PixelFed. That's where I'm doing most of my posts. I'll just toss out a couple shows because there's a lot. The Context Machine with Brian Chaffin, which is the show that was the catalyst for this to happen.
Started
because
this
that's
whole
where
mess.
Patrice heard me say, oh, I've never watched that show.
Yeah.
And In Touch with iOS, David Ginsberg's show. But there are others. Let's see. So people can get a hold of us by sending us messages on Mastodon, retrorewatch@techhangout.social.
Yep.
And retrorewatch.com is the website, and hello@retrorewatch.com is our email. And I'm forgetting one of the contact points, Patrice.
It's Blue Sky.
Blue Sky.
It's also
just Retro Rewatch.
At retrorewatch.com. It's literally our domain.
There we go.
Yes. So easy.
All right. So now it's time for us to close the iris so I can go and watch 1969 and figure out which of the ideas that I threw out is the correct one.
Yes.
So we're going to close that. Patrice, thank you for putting up with me never being able to get an episode in the right order. But I'm having so much fun watching and then talking about the episodes with you.
Me too. It's always fun to figure out where you turned left or right and jumped over things, whatever.
You know, someone could probably like analyze all of this and figure out something about my personality.
Yes. Same for me. I mean, the things that I skip over that you remember sometimes where I'm like, it wasn't important, so I didn't write it down.
And then I get hung up on some tiny little thing.
Yeah, but sometimes the tiny little thing is important. I just didn't
realize. Well, I'll take it because the rare time it is important, I can say, see, it matters.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. So let's wrap it up. Everyone, thank you. Patrice, thank you. And time for me to go back to the couch and watch 1969.